God really loves us. Even in tough times, you and I have to believe that God really loves me and that he's looking out for me. But while God has not let us go, I want to present to you today this particular situation that God, in fact, wants us to let some stuff go. God's going to hold on to us because God is good. God is going to hold on to us because his purposes for our lives are good, to prosper us and not to harm us, to give us hope in the future. God is going to hold on to us because he wants all things to work together for good, for those who love God and for those who are called according to his purpose. But as he holds on to us, he wants us to let go of some stuff that are not helpful and that are not profitable for our lives. Even some of the things that look good is not all that good. As I get older and get a little gray, I'm learning that not everything that glitter is gold and not everything that's glamorous is good. Some things might look precious, but it's not profitable. And God is saying to us through the prophet, he said, I want you to let some things go. Let some things go. Look at the neighbor and say, let it go. The text, it's written by Isaiah. He received a word from God, and Isaiah was a credible prophet. We call him one of the major prophets. You know, when people's been around doing some stuff and they've done it well, they have credibility. And if they haven't done it well, they have none. Sometimes you can have the position and not have credibility to execute in the position. Well, Isaiah had credibility. Remember, it was Isaiah who prophesied, probably the greatest prophecy in biblical history. He said, unto us a child is born. Didn't you just celebrate Christmas last week? He said, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. And guess what? It came to pass. The same Isaiah said, the Lord says. What did the Lord say, Isaiah? He said, forget the former things. God must know more about us than we know about ourselves. He must know that sometimes we get sucked into stuff and we just keep rolling. Sometimes you're doing the same thing over and over again and you think you're doing your best thing, and God is looking from the outside in and saying, baby, you're on the wrong road, you're spending your energy on the wrong things, and you're moving in the wrong direction. But how many people know you keep saying it long enough, you start believing it? And then you just think you're on a roll. God said to the prophet, to say to us, to tell Israel, tell my people, forget the former things. Forget the former things. How do you do that, Pastor? How do you let stuff go? Because I can't erase stuff from my memory. That's neurologically impossible. Every now and then I would think about something. Yeah, God doesn't want you to erase it from your memory either. Because if he did, then you got to go check your head. Every now and then you will remember stuff. So what does it mean to let it go? Here's what it means. He said, forget the former things. Watch this. So I see some things in the text that I want to share with you. First, I think God is telling us to release the past. Release the past. He commands us to release the past. Let go of those stuff that you can't do anything about now. Stop holding on to it because it has weight and it drags you backwards and it pulls you down. Man called a pastor one time. He was pretty upset. He said, Pastor, I want to talk to you. Pastor said, sure. Make time for you. Said, but Pastor, again, when I got to talk to you? He said, well, you know, next week is a better week. This is a bad week. Oh, no, Pastor, it's urgent. It's urgent. Please, Pastor, I can't wait until next week. I got to talk to you this week. But the pastor said, okay. I'll see if I can squeeze in some time today. Can you come in today? Yeah, Pastor, this is pressing. I got to come talk to you. The young man comes in, and he started to tell the pastor. I've been married for X number of years, 9 years now I've been married. Okay. And this stuff just happened. It's just too much. It's just too much. I can't take it anymore. I think I'm done, Pastor. Would you pray for me? I came to so you can pray for me. And the pastor started to get counsel. And then every time the pastor said A, the male said B and C. Every time the pastor said D, the male said E and F. And E and F was always contrary to D. And C and B was always contrary to A. So in other words, you know how it is sometimes. If you already made up your mind about stuff, and then you go to people just to make yourself feel better so you can check on the paper, at least I did that. I don't care what you say, I already decided what I'm doing. And it went back and forth, back and forth. And the pastor said, but by the way, what is it? What happened? Something bad happened last night? Something happened today? What happened? He said, well, so-and-so happened. I said, but when did it happen? He said, 9 years ago. And it's fresh like a raw wound. Watch this. Anything that you and I do not let go of, we are keeping. And anything that's with you can affect you at any time. If you don't release it, it's with you. And if it's with you, it can affect you. So God is saying, I want you to let some stuff go. I know you had some bumps yesterday, but that's yesterday and it's history. I want you to let it go. I know some people got on your nerves last week, but that's last week and let it go. I know it fucked the neck right at the family reunion earlier in the year, but that's past now. I want you to let it go because the burdens of yesterday will drag you back. You keep thinking about the things that didn't work, thinking about the relationship that failed, thinking about the job opportunity that didn't pan out, and you can't focus on the next best thing because all you're doing is thinking about the last thing. And God is saying, I've come to release you from your past because I have something better for you. Come on, Jeremiah, what did God say? He said, tell the people, I know the plans I have for them, not to harm them, but to prosper them and to give them hope and a future. I thank God for release from my past because not everything in my past I'm proud of. But I thank God, while I might not be everything I ought to be, I am not what I used to be. I've learned to let yesterday be yesterday as I focus on today. Look at your neighbor and say, let it go. The past can pull you back and burden you and hinder you. And God gives a command. I want you to see that this is a command. This is not a suggestion. This is a command. You know, we live in a time where we're so hurriedly trying to make everything shady gray. I come to declare to you today that there are still absolutes in this world. There's a heaven and there's hell. We believe that. There's day and there's night. There's hot and there's cold. If you think I'm lying, cut the stove on, put your hand on it. You know it's hot. Yeah. There are still absolute. Everything is not shitty gray. Everything is not lukewarm. Everything is not watered down. But the devil will have us to roll that way. God gives a command. He said, forget the former things. Forget the former things. Listen, and if you don't forget the former things, then guess what? The former things become the things that you are occupied with. Twin cities, Sodom and Gomorrah. God said, you know, these people getting on my nerves. I've given them so much. And even my grace is running out. See, he said, Abraham said, but God, I know how you feel about righteous people. Abraham went to negotiate with God. Folks, you can negotiate with God, but just make sure you got standing with God. If you've been tripping all the time, don't just think you're going to come in your righteous disposition and God's going to hear you. And you've been sipping and midnight tipping and you think you're just going to come and and just call down fire from heaven. Don't work that way. Men see exterior stuff. God sees the heart. Abraham has standing with God. God said to him, go sacrifice your only son. He trusted God by faith and God showed himself to be Jehovah Jireh, the God that provides. So he has standing. So he said, God, if there are 50 righteous people, will you save the city? God said, for the righteous? Yeah, I'll save it. Couldn't find 50. God, if there are 40, would you save? You can't kill the righteous with the wicked. God said, I'm with you. 40, that'll work. It's a big city, but for 40 people, I'll save the city. Couldn't find 40. How about 30, God? I know God was kind of getting a little tired with Abraham now. But God said, yeah, 30. Couldn't find it. Well, how about 15? Folks, I want you to hear something. God will go to bat for the righteous. Ask David. He said, I was young and I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken or the children begging for bread. If everybody in your house is an unbeliever, you stay where you are and you keep believing and you keep serving. God will bless your whole house because of you. Couldn't find righteous folks. Abraham said to Lot, you need to get out and tell your family when you're leaving, don't look back. What he was saying is, forget the former things. And sister girlfriend was coming, and she started thinking of all those nice parties and the banquets they had and all that cool stuff. So they're leaving Sodom and Gomorrah and then the pleasures of yesterday. How many people know that the pleasures of yesterday will pull you sometime? You can be the most spiritual person. Every now and then, all those little proclivities will start coming back to you, creeping up. And she was moving, but she just... it used to be good. And the Bible says she turned around. And when she turned around, she turned into a pillar of salt. Listen, I don't care what happened yesterday. If all of my best days are behind me, then I'm in real trouble. I forget the past. I release myself from the burdens of my past. And I'm looking forward to see what the next best thing is that God has for me. It's a command to let some stuff go. Paul says it this way. He said, whatsoever things are right, whatsoever things are profitable. He said, if there be anything praiseworthy, see that? Think on these things. I've had some good days and some bad days, but I'm talking about the good days, not the bad days. I had some throwdowns and some pickups. I'm talking about the pickup and not the throwdown. I've had some money and I've been broke. I was just talking about the days I had money and not the days I didn't. I worked a job and I used to be unemployed. I want to think about the time I had the job and don't worry about the time I didn't have the job. God is saying, just let the yesterdays go. It's history. Can't do anything about it. What does he say, Pastor? He said, do not dwell, listen to this, on the past. Do not dwell on the past. So not only does he commands us to release our past, he also cautions us to relate to the present. Pay attention to what God is doing now. Oh, it used to be good yesterday. Oh, we had fun at the reunion. Oh, we used to. Let me just drop this free footnote. You don't have to pay for this. It's free. It's entirely free. If you inviting somebody to church and they ask you about you, tell me about your church. Please don't tell them about the things you used to do. If your best days are behind you, there's nothing exciting about you. Tell them about the things you are going to do. Focus on the present. He is saying, don't let yesterday be your preoccupation. A man was driving down the road in Baltimore and he saw a good friend he hadn't seen in a long time. And he hit his brake. And he was honking the horn and the friend was not looking. And he kept looking. The friend was walking down the street. He kept looking. Next thing you know, boom. He hit the car in front of him. See what happened? You focus on the past. And you lose your focus on the present. God works with the present. God works with what he has. And God wants us to work with what we have. I can't worry about what I used to have in Baltimore. That's past. I have to relate to what I'm doing in Shepherdstown. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God will always work with what we have. And that's the great thing about God. If we pay attention to what God is doing now, not what he did yesterday. He said, don't dwell on the past. Remember now, this is the same Israel. God was speaking in context. This is the same Israel who, when they left from Egypt, they were in Egypt crying. We are slaves. They tell us when to get up. They tell us when to go to bed. They tell us when to go to the bathroom. If we stop to take a break, they whip us. They're using us. Oh my God, said, I heard your cry. I'm going to liberate you. And then they started joining from Egypt's land to the promised land. And then what happened? They ran out of food. There's a whole lot of people to feed now. And you're moving, so you know, they ran out of food. God said, I will send manna from heaven. Yeah. After 3 or 4 days, they said, but gee, all we're going to eat is the same bird. Yeah. At least in Egypt, we have filet mignon. Every now and then, they'll bring some toast or bacon in there. Can you see that? See what the devil would do to you? You were in slavery. But now for one little inconvenience, one little discomfort, you have the audacity to say, God, what's up with that? My yesterday was bad. No, stop lying. Your yesterday was not better, but you are not relating to your today. You are not seeing the new opportunities that God is fashioning for your life. It doesn't look like what it used to be, but God doesn't want you to be what you used to be either. He wants to do something new. Come on, Paul. He said, therefore, if anybody is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has passed, and behold, everything has become new. New way of looking at stuff. New way of engaging people. New way of taking advantage of opportunities. I want to step into new places, so I do some brand new stuff today. Don't dwell in the past. Mean relate to where you are now. Moses, come on, Moses, come on, Moses. Come on, Moses, I only got 3 minutes. Come quickly, come quickly. Moses, go and liberate Israel. Moses, got a speech impediment. God said, I know. I created you. I'm not looking for an orator. I'm looking for somebody who's faithful. Who should I sent me? Because Moses knew. He's a Hebrew too. He knew that the Israelite had been very doubtful and rightfully so. 400 years in slavery. Yeah. You know, everybody coming, oh, you're going to be free tomorrow, and you're not free. You don't want to hear nothing else. Moses was expecting a resume. God gave him 5 words. Tell him, I am that I am sent you. Moses said, wait a minute, that ain't enough food, bro. I need a little something else. I ain't going to make a fool of myself. First of all, I already killed somebody before for trying to attack one of my Hebrew brothers. They might arrest me when I go back to talk stuff. So you better give me some signs. So God said, what is it you have in your hand? He said, I just got a whole old piece of stick. They call it a stack. He said, throw it down. He threw it down, turned to snake. He said, now pick it up by the tail. He picked it up by the tail. It turned back to a staff. My men were convinced. Can I tell you something? If you seek the Lord with purpose, God will take you right where you are with what you have. And he would do something miraculous. And he would do something supernatural. And he will blow your mind. He will give you confidence in your belly. He will provide evidence. But if you're not focusing on the present and you're thinking about the past, you miss what God is doing right here, right now. See, if you like me, I used to learn like to plan my life. I am a strategic thinker. I want everything 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Step 1, step 2. Now here, over there. If you walk with God long enough, you ever notice it don't work that way sometimes? Yeah, right. Sometimes you can have everything line up this way and an opportunity come this way. Sometimes everything is seen smooth this way and as soon as you start on that path, there are bumps and bruises. Sometimes the folks who God sent don't even look like people who could bless your life. You just dismiss them as soon as you see them, like a book whose cover you don't like. And then God will use those very people to blow your mind and take you to the next best place. I want somebody to pay attention. God is a God of the present. He's doing something right now. You got to pay attention to what the Lord is doing right now. He said, don't dwell on the past. And then finally he said, see, I'm doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it? What are you doing, God? What are you doing? What new thing? He said, I'm making a way in the wilderness. Streams in the wasteland. Translation? I'm doing some impossible things to other people, but very possible for you. Because nothing shall be impossible unto the people that believe. It's the final thing I want to tell you, my friends, as we learn to let things go. He commands us to release ourselves from the past. He cautions us to relate to the present. But God is also calling us to reach into the future. Calling us to reaching to the future. Listen. He says, see what I am doing. See that? Watch this. So he is first asking us to focus on what he's doing. See that? So if all I'm doing is dreaming about yesterday and not paying attention to today, I lose the opportunity to see what he's doing into the future. Paul says, I haven't gotten it all together yet. He said, but I press toward the mark of the high calling, which is heavenward in Christ Jesus. Where heaven, from our understanding, visually, we envision heaven as a place up, right? Which means God's call is upward. What are you saying, Pastor B? God calls us to be a people who are progressive. Now, all of your progress in life may not be vertical. Don't get me wrong. You may not get a promotion every week or get new things. But once you're moving, that's upward. See that? Because movement is a sign of life. So when you speak positive things, that's movement. When you serve somebody, that's movement. When you raise the level of your faith in God, that's movement. When you say, get thee behind me, devil, that's movement. Because what I'm doing, I'm future-minded. What I'm doing, I'm forward-leaning because God is calling me to something bigger and something better. Listen, sometimes you'll be real down in the valley. And that is just a test for mountaintop experiences. And God wants to see how we're going to handle valley moments. Job was in the darkest of valleys. And Job said, don't you slay me, yet will I trust in you. And the Bible says at the end of the story, God rewarded Job double for his trouble. Job must have known that God calls people eventually to good things and to good places. Listen, I have to believe in my future if the future is going to be brighter. And you got to trust the one who's doing the calling. Faith, Hebrews 11:1, it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence, you hear what I say? The evidence, all the lawyers in the house, the evidence of things not seen. God's calling us to let stuff go. And when I open my hands, the devil wants me to think it's an act of loss. God, I can't open my hand. I don't have enough already. God, come on, God. I can't release this stuff. God said, release it. Release it. But what am I going to do? Release it. Same God who put stuff in the hands before can put more stuff in your hands. Trust me. I'll supply all of your needs according to your riches in glory. God is calling us to reach into the future, my friend. Let it go. Don't let that stuff become a burden in your life. God is calling you to a place of blessing. He's calling you to a place of blessing. Stand as you're able in the presence of God. Stand as you're able in the presence of God. Today, I just want to pray a prayer of release. I'm going to pray a prayer of release.